this is Genoa.
This is Yuzu.
And this is In Flight Entertainment.
The Quarantine Edition, Throwback Thursdays. Hey, what's going on, everyone? Hope everyone's being safe and washing those hands. So, physical distancing and 6 feet apart, all that good stuff. How you doing, General?
I'm doing good. I mean, it's been 2 months since I traveled, which is weird, but now we're reviewing movies on based on whether or not they're good to watch in quarantine. And I'm definitely getting my screen quota in.
Yeah. Yeah. So if we have like a movie trivia, you're gonna crush it.
I'm just sort of going through all the different catalogs of movies. I don't know what else to call it.
There's nothing wrong with that. All right, so this particular movie today is a 1985 Western gem of cinema. Am I right or wrong?
Yes, we are diving into the world of a misfit bunch of friends that come together to right the injustices which exist in a small town.
Yes. And the movie is
looking at an all-star cast of Silverado.
Yeah, Silverado. Okay. So before we dive into this movie, let's dive into the year of 1985. Now, this movie was released July 10th, 1985. That year is so famous because Back to the Future put that year on the map because Marty McFly had to get back to 1985 and the movie. So there you go. This is the year 1985. And these are the shows we were watching in 1985, going from 5 to 1. Number 5 was the Sam and Diane Circus. That was Cheers. 60 Minutes, number 4. Your girl, Murder, She Wrote.
She Wrote, yeah.
Number 2, speaking of Back to the Future and Marty McFly, we have Family Ties. That was number 2. Michael J. Fox sitcom. And 1985, the Huxtables took top spot, which would be most of the 80s with the Cosby Show. Now, the song of 1985, you know, it was like Something Wrong With You If You Do Not Tap Your Feet to Phil Collins, Sue Studio. Right? You didn't. Oh, yeah, I forgot you hated Sue Studio.
I'm not a fan of Phil Collins.
Really? He has so many good songs. Yeah. Come on. Well, you must have hated Miami Vice because that was like the Phil Collins soundtrack almost.
No, I don't hate Miami Vice. the music wasn't always that great.
Not even when he was with Genesis?
No, I know he's a very talented drummer. But it's just not my cup of tea.
Okay. All right. That's all good. What's his name? Bateman. What's his name from American Psycho? He dug Phil Collins.
He does do Phil Collins, yeah.
Before he kill people. yeah. Okay. So Silverado. So you want to fire off this cast?
It is a crazy impressive cast. We have Kevin Kline, Scott Glenn, Kevin Costner, Danny Glover, John Cleese, Bill Thurman. I'm missing a few.
So Jeff Goldblum. Yep.
Yeah, Jeff Goldblum, Linda Hunt.
Yeah, Rosanna Arquette.
Right.
And Jeff Fahey. Yeah. She said Kevin. Yeah. This was a cast. This was a cast of people.
I mean, it's the type of movie where every time that there's a new person's introduced or a new scene, you're like, wait a minute, I know that person.
Yeah.
And it is absolutely crazy how they got all of these people in one movie.
Yeah.
Without absolutely killing the bank.
Exactly.
The budget.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the director, that we have to kind of give credit to, which is Larry Kasdan. We're recording on May 4th, which is like Star Wars Day. So this is this is kind of serendipitous because Larry Kasdan wrote Empire Strikes Back and he wrote Return of the Jedi. It all works out. And I think he co-wrote a Solo also. And he collaborated with Force Awakens. You have that. And on top of that, his directorial work was Body Heat in 1981, which was it Kathleen Turner and what's his name? William Hurt. William Hurt. Yeah. And then we had The Big Chill in 1983. I guess that's where Kevin Kline, he could probably pull him from The Big Chill because Kevin Kline was in The Big Chill.
Right.
Yeah. And then 85 was Silverado. So I think having those two back to back, critically, acclaimed hits. When you go to the studios, like, okay, look, I wrote Empire Strikes Back, I directed Body Heat and Big Chill. I want to do a Western. And he's like, here are the actors I want in my movie. I think they went ahead and was like, okay, let me just get the Rolodex and cast everybody you want. Because he had a pretty impressive resume.
Oh, sorry. Heidi is freaking out.
He's bored.
She hears your voice.
Heidi!
So the budget, even with all of those actors, the budget was only $26 million, which is pretty impressive.
Yeah, that's true. Definitely. Now, if you think about it, I mean, were there any technically, were there any Oscar winners in this movie at the time? Because I guess if they didn't really get to that peak in their career where they were like, racking up Oscars, I guess they would be affordable at the time.
I don't know. Yeah. I didn't dive into that part of the trivia for this movie. So I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
Kevin Costner was super young in this movie.
Yeah, that's what Chrissy said. Like, yeah, he's super young.
So he didn't have an Oscar yet.
Nope. Danny Glover haven't got anything. Of course, John Cleese definitely not. Scott Glenn, no. Rosanna Arquette, no. Jeff Goldblum, no. Jeff Fahey, no. Brian didn't hit. Yeah, so I'm gonna say, this was a cast of non Oscar winners at the time,
right? Which is, a lot of them go on to be nominated for things, so it is still super impressive.
Oh yes, definitely. Watching this the second time, I admire and respect this form of storytelling, which do not happen anymore. Like, it opens up with the Scott Glenn character in his shed. It's a shootout. He gets away. Well, he kind of shoots out. He shoots some hoods that's trying to break into the shed and shoot him through the shed, things like that. So we're assuming that, okay, we're going to follow this particular character throughout this whole movie. But the movie intersects with these different characters, and then the story veers off a little bit with these other characters, and then it kind of slingshot back around narratively to like Scott Glenn and kind of dropping in on him and what he's been doing, and it splays out to other characters. I mean, it was really like very, like I said, very Pulp Fiction-ish, like far as like the intersecting stories, like we kind of follow one character and then we kind of leave him alone for a little bit, and then we over here, and then we kind of come back here, and then we intersect there. Yeah, I thought it was very interesting watching it again. It was very good, unique writing, so to speak.
Yeah, it does take, it's not a movie that you can like walk away and come back in. You do need to put on and actually watch it and enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All characters, all actors came to play. Every actor in this movie came to play. Their characters were memorable, and all of them managed to deliver some awesome one-liners that was just, awesome. And the horse and the stunt horsemen, if you want to call them that, were really awesome in this movie.
Shout out to the costume designer. They had a cast of 54 plus 500 extras, and the costume designer, Christy Zia, a staff of 4 people, so 5 costume designers, 5 people sewing, did the costumes for all of those people.
Wow. Wow.
That is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, hats off. I mean, yeah, and it felt so epic. Like, it felt like a legit sweeping, epic of a Western. The music was amazing. The cinematography was amazing. Like you said, the costume design was amazing. Like, everything about this movie was unapologetically Western.
It also, like, the costumes weren't just like, oh, this is an old West, so everyone's going to wear, jeans and cowboy shirts and cowboy hats. Each character had its very unique, different style. So when we meet Jeff Goldblum, he's like a dandy.
Yeah.
So he has a big, giant fur coat. And when we meet Dennehy's character, he's sort of, he's the sheriff, but he also plays a bad guy. So he has a very different look than what we see Kevin Kline's character wearing.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Very distinctive. Every character had a distinctive look. And like I said, it separates. I think that's what separates this particular Western from like other Westerns. The points you were saying, when you think of Silverado, you think of, the look of these characters and the acting, And like I said, and the shootouts are cool too, very good. But it was definitely more of like the intentions of these characters, you see at the end of the day, they just want to kind of settle down, like try to find a purpose in this world, whatever it may be. One want to be a farmer, one just want to be reunited with their family. One just want to, be reunited with, his father, things like that, but the corruption, won't permit these men to live the lives that they want to live, and it always come back to it. It's like people, the first half, the second half, they kind of, go off like, okay, well, we're done. So long, guys. Nice meeting you. But this string of corruption pulls everyone back together, to exact justice on, what was happening to these characters individually. It's a really clever writing. I never really sat back and paid attention to how these characters are written in the scope of a Western. It was really good. I mean, I definitely hats off to Larry and, you know, his writing. He definitely knew how to write.
So we mentioned sort of the plot that's told on IMDb if you were to go search it over there. But basically the story is about some cowboys that are headed west, and they stop off in this little town to say hello to some relatives. And while they're there, they find out that the townsfolk are sort of being bullied, and their land is being taken away from them, and their cattle are being stolen, and they find out that it's all being done by the sheriff and his squad. And so they basically figure out a way to take down the dirty sheriff and his dirty men.
Right. Yep. So get justice.
Yeah. So it's almost like a similar story to what we did with Wyatt Earp.
Tombstone.
But it's not. Yeah, Tombstone. But it's not based on reality. So it is a similar that you have these outsiders that come into a town and try to right the injustices being done by the people living there.
Right. Yeah, as with mostly all Western stories, is always that. You know, it's always, the outsiders coming in to, rectify the injustice in this innocent town by, the absolute powers that's, exploiting this town. It's always an outsider to come in and, right the wrongs, Actually, I was thinking about this. I was saying, wow. Well, I mean, Westerns pretty much came from Kurosawa, and Kurosawa made, samurai movies, back in the 50s. So it's, but it would have been interesting if Silverado was actually took place in ancient Japan, because I totally see like everyone being samurai going to these different villages and stuff, But I mean, it's still awesome. But if they were to redo Silverado, I think the guy who did Shadow, that foreign movie, which I've seen. Yeah. Like that director should do a samurai version of Silverado. That'd be pretty cool.
I mean, that would be amazing.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool with that style and that color palette. That would be different. It would be different.
Yeah.
But I still love this one. I mean, still love it. I mean, I ain't trying to. Well, I gave my rating away.
Right. I mean, we can just jump to the rating. The rating is ass on the sofa.
Yep.
You're sitting and enjoying it.
Mm-hmm.
Putting your shoes on. You're not quite sure if you should watch it or leave the house. And then the last one is you're out the door. You don't have a mask. You're not washing your hands. You'd rather risk dying than watch this movie. So I think both of us are on the sofa.
Okay. Good. All right. So it's unanimous. Two butts down on the couch. I mean, I'm glad you text like, yeah, we should do Silverado. I'm like, yes, like I haven't seen that in so long. And rewatching right, it, just,
the reason why we picked this was because a few weeks back, Brian Dennehy did pass away.
Yeah, rest in peace.
And we wanted to honor him and do one of his movies. So for those of you that aren't familiar with him, or at least familiar with the name, you've probably seen a lot of his movies and haven't realized it or do, but he was in Cocoon, First Blood.
Yeah.
He was in The Blacklist most recently, which is a TV show, I think, on NBC.
Man, that's still on?
It's still on, yeah.
Wow, okay.
He was in The Good Wife, which was another TV show, but for kids growing up in the 80s, 80s. He was in a lot of movies then.
Yes. Yeah, so I mean, yeah, and plus if you want to watch a really well-made, well-crafted, well-acted, well-costume design, well-like action, to do whatever you want to call it, wherever makes a Western a great sweeping Western, this is it. It's definitely worth your time, definitely worth your observation, because this is definitely an 80s gem. that's a Western that you will really enjoy.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, if you're studying film, you can learn how to draft a good story. You can learn how to do many multiple characters and give them distinct personalities and distinct styles. It's an awesome movie.
Yes, agreed. Yes. So there you have it. Silverado. Definitely give it a look. We give it 2 butts down on the couch. Watch it. You will enjoy it. You will get a kick out of it. So any information they need to know before we bounce to the next week?
No, but if there are any movies that you all would like us to review, please let us know. We're happy to take listener requests, especially now. You can shoot us a note, and not sure if you want to watch something with a family. Let us know if you want us to be the dummies, the guinea pig. Watch it and get back to you.
Exactly. Like I said, we ain't got nothing else to do. Might as well. Cool, guys. Well, until next week, we wish everyone safe physical distancing. And sign up. Rest in peace to Brian Dennehy. Your acting will go on forever. Thanks for your immense talent. And we will never forget you. So until next time, safe physical distancing and
wash your hands.
Peace. Thank you.